Good morning, family. How are we all on this lovely rainy spring day? I'm just happy that it's not snow. You know what I mean? It's not snow. We are in there. It's springtime. I have some little helpers again. Can you say good morning?
Good morning.
Well, we want to share a couple quick things with you real quickly. Sophia, what are you gonna invite them to? Well, if you're new and you're visiting with us, we have a connect room. We'd love to get to know you. We'd love to just have you meet some of the pastors and staff here at His Tabernacle and just kind of let you know who we are. There's coffee. There's refreshments in there. You can go right over to this side hallway. It's right down there. We'd love to connect with you. Also, we have Discover Class. So again, if you're new or maybe you've been coming a while and you feel like you haven't been able to get connected, I'd encourage you to go check out Discover Class. It's 4 weeks long. Starts at 9:30. It's done in time for second service. There's coffee, refreshments in there, and it really just explains who we are, how we got started, and how you play a part. Also, one more thing, because we have so much to offer here. We have other classes like Rock Solid Faith, where you can come and get your foundation established. Really life-changing. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Contact one of the pastors or leaders here, and we can give you more information on those because there's, again, there's so much here. So be watching Facebook, looking for those, and get involved. Amen? All right, we're going to pray. So go ahead and stand up to your feet. I'm excited for this morning. I know God is ready to move. So, Father, we just lift you up today, Jesus. We thank you that we get to be in your presence. We thank you that we get to be where you are. So, Holy Spirit, right now we invite you into this place, and we ask you to have your way. Move on behalf of your people today, Father. We lift you up, we love you, and we're ready to praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Is happening. Honey, get yourself together. Wow, sorry about that.
Truck
good
coming from
morning.
The parking lot.
Yay, it's an awesome day.
It is.
The sun has cracked out. We finally, well, not today, but we finally, I think, entered into spring and warmth and wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. That's something to get excited about.
I agree.
Amen.
I like warm.
Yeah.
Young man, you have a tremendous shirt on and a great hat on. I love you. Amen.
Yes.
How many of you had a phenomenal week?
Yes.
Amen. I want to remind you that every week that we have, there's an old, old, old song about getting up in the morning and how God has sent us on his way. And I just thank the Lord that every day, how many of you have breath in your mouth?
Yes.
Turn to someone and say, I think I'm breathing.
I'm definitely breathing.
That's a good sign. That means you're ready to praise him.
Yes.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
So today we're not here to do church. We're here to be in the presence of a living God.
Yes, amen.
To hear a word that's alive and real.
Yes.
We were just talking with Isaac this morning, and he asked me a question. He said, Pastor, what do you think about people that are not saved or even theologians that are not saved that read the Bible? I said, that's nice. But I said, the fact is that the natural man cannot deduce spiritual things.
Amen.
The only thing that releases and brings understanding to the Spirit is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And this morning, the Holy Spirit is in this room.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
He said, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst.
Amen.
So today is a revelation day.
Yes.
Today is transformation day. Today is a supernatural day. Today is a powerful day.
Amen.
Today is a healing day. Today is a delivering day.
Yes.
Today is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice.
Hallelujah.
And be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you pray then?
All right. Father, we just love you so much. We love the honor and privilege that we can come into your house.
Yes.
And we can worship. We are not closed. We are not bound up.
Right.
The the government has barricaded our building. God, we have the right and privilege to come into your house and gather together and worship you. So God, we are here. We are in your presence. We are going to worship you with all of our heart and mind. And we know that in your presence, it changes everything. Right. So we're ready, God. We're ready for you to show up. Amen. We're ready for your power, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your breakthrough, for your joy, for your peace. Hallelujah. We're ready, God. We receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's take a real quick second. Let's pray for Canada. As the pastor was thrown in jail, we want to pray that God will just bring some... Actually, if you remember, they broke in on Easter Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, and he drove them out of the church on Monday morning. They actually barricaded with fences his church and put him in jail. And so today is the day we need to pray for our friends in Canada. We need to pray for our church in Canada. We have a church, His Tabernacle, in Canada. We need to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand on behalf of your men and your women that are standing behind the pulpit this morning with great bravery this morning in Canada. We ask that you'll protect them. We ask that you'll bless them. God, even those, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. God, bring a special blessing on those that are receiving the persecution in the name of Jesus. We pray for Pastor Phil right now as he's getting ready to preach. Oh God, right up in New Brunswick, Canada. Release the anointing in a supernatural manner. In a way, God, they've never seen before in that region. God, we pray also, Lord, that you'll bring them a brand new building. God, they need a building up there. Lord Jesus, open up a building in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's worship.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm praising out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Morning's here and I'm grateful for my Savior God up in victory. I'm shouting out of my grave clothes. Whom the sun sets free is free. Freedom's here and I'm grateful for Jesus got up just for me. Oh, he got up just for me. And I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? And isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever. And we will sing the glory of your name. He lifted high and high for all the world to see. Your name is all we need. Your name is all we need. And isn't the name of Jesus in the name, there is life.
Jesus, you are worthy. That people are going to be changed. We know that people are going to be healed. We know that people are going to be delivered right here in your presence. For in your presence is fullness of joy. God, I pray the joy of the Lord will just overtake us. Father, we'll be bubbly, filled with the Spirit of God. Rivers of living water shall flow out of the innermost parts of our belly. God, they'll know us by our fruits. Not that life is going perfect, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, we stand in the midst, God, of a real world with real problems. And we are your salt and we are your light. We've come to be your example. We've come to be your people. We've come to be your power on this planet. Jesus, I thank you that in these last days you are raising up a people of God that are not ashamed of your gospel, that are not ashamed to declare your truth, that God, they will not shut back, but God will always move forward. God, we give you honor and praise. I just feel the heat of God coming upon the congregation. In Jesus' name, fire, fire, fire. God, release your fire in this room. In Jesus' name. Release your fire in Jesus' name. Release the power of God in this house. That your people will say, I've been in the house of God. Jesus, we love you. We declare our need for you. God is doing a special move over on the left, my right hand side of the sanctuary in the far back. God is moving in that area right now. If you're back there, you need to get your hands up and start receiving right now. Jesus is doing a miraculous work right back in that section for the glory of God. Father, we honor you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sweet Holy Spirit. Yeah, you are the You're the orchestrator of God's kingdom. Right here, right now. We just want you to know that we want what you want. God, we want your mood to be released in this house. Your desires to be released in this house. Not our will, but your will be done. Not our agenda, but your agenda. And God, you'll be glorified for. That's really all that matters, isn't it, Jesus? Jesus, isn't that all that matters? Is that we lift your name on high and you will draw all men unto you, that the Holy Ghost's favorite topic is you, and that we'll all bring glory to the Father. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you that we're children of heaven. Thank you, God, that we have a covenant that is alive and real. There is not one sin more powerful than our God. You can not only give us the power to overcome it, but the power to be forgiven by it. Thank you, Jesus. There is no sickness and no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growth, No spirits of infirmity that are allowed in or on our lives, according to your covenant. By my stripes, you were healed. God, we thank you for prosperity. Lord, we'll always increase. Increase, O God, to bring you glory. Father, we just say thank you. Thank you for the blood. Oh, there's the anointing. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. It's the blood that sets us free. That's right, devils. You know what you're afraid of. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. You are defeated, made an open shame, Satan yourself. The foot of Christ is on your head. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the resurrection that sealed the blood. And today we stand here not as victims, but as victors. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus powerful? You know, I think the church just needs a resurrection of the name of Jesus. Amen. The name of COVID has become more powerful than the name of Jesus, even in our society today. And I want you to know that COVID bows. That governments will bow. That even one day the Antichrist will bow. And one day, Lucifer's son in the morning, who used to bow, will bow again. As he's getting ready to be thrown in the lake of fire for all of eternity. I want you to know you're on the winning side. Turn to somebody and say, I'm on the winning side. I don't know about you, that's pretty smart. Amen? How many of you want to be on the losing side? No, I want to be on the winning side. If you're born again, shout amen. Amen. Then you're on the winning side. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We have a special guest that's going to be doing the offering this morning. If you'll welcome me, Emily Gaza.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So I'm just going to get right into it. What I'm reading today is 1 Chronicles 29. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 16. Get that real quick. Hold on. I should have been prepared. Okay, you know what? I'll just grab my phone. Because that's easier.
You got it. Take your time. Take your time. Don't worry.
First Chronicles 29, verse 10. All right, I got it. Okay. So it says, then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone too soon without a trace. O Lord our God, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. And I think this was so powerful because I believe there's King David here is trying to emphasize some points here that I believe are so powerful. And the first point he made and the knowledge was that everything in the heavens and on the earth is God's. The second one is that wealth and honor come from God alone, and he rules everything. And number three is that everything that King David gave, he only gave it because God gave it to him first. So he was willing to give what he had. He literally gave tons of gold to God to build the temple because he recognized that God gave it to him. So it wasn't his to in the first place. God, or King David, is declaring God's sovereign power in these scriptures. If we recognize him as our Lord, that means that he has to be Lord over our finances as well. He needs to be Lord over all. You know, if we need to trust him with our finances. David is acknowledging that, yes, the kingdom is God's, but God has also entrusted us to administer finances. He's entrusted us with many things, with gifts, talents, and one including money, to administrate and steward. Psalms 8:6 declares that God has given dominion to man over the work of his hands. Psalms 115:16 says that the heavens belong to our God and they are his alone, but he has given us the earth and put us in charge. And in Leviticus 25, verse 23 says, when God was speaking to Moses at Mount Sinai, he said, the land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me. You are only tenant farmers working for me. And I want to emphasize something that these scriptures are saying, and that's why I use so many scriptures. What these scriptures are saying is that God owns everything. Like, everything was created by him and for him. Those things that we have are not ours. They're only given to us to manage, to steward. So even right now, repeat it to yourself, like, God owns everything. I steward everything. Like, just go ahead and say it. Awesome. So we all know Malachi 3:8, right? It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me in tithes and offering that are due to me. And obviously we're all familiar with this verse, but I think something that stuck out to me was that in order to have robbed from God, that means that has to belong to him in the first place. So he's saying those tithes and offering are due to me, and you're robbing me when you don't give them to me, because those things already belong to him. The things that we have, again, they're not ours, they're God's, and he's only given them to us to entrust or to entrust and manage. VNA, can you come up here real quick? Can I have the money, please? Thank you. So, VNA, I gave this to VNA to hold on to, and it's like, I don't know, like $10. I don't know. I didn't count it. But I gave it to her because I knew that she would give it back to me when I asked her for it. Because I knew that it wasn't hers to begin with. I only gave them to her to hold on to. And that is what God, that's basically how our relationship with finances and God should be. Like, God, whenever you ask for me to seed into the ministry or the kingdom, I'm going to do it because it's not mine to begin with. And I knew that VNA, I knew her integrity. She had shown herself trustworthy to me before, and that's why I gave her that money to begin with. And not only that, I knew she was trustworthy because I had a relationship with her. And when you have a relationship with God, you have the opportunity to show your trust yourself. You are able to show yourself trustworthy and faithful to what he has handed to you. So Jesus said, give as freely as you have received. VNA didn't hesitate to give this back to me. She freely gave it to me because, like the Malachi 3:8 says, you have robbed from me. If she would have kept that money, I only gave it to her to hold on to. I was like, here, keep this. If she would have kept that and she would have refused to give it to me, that would have literally been considered stealing because I was asking it for it back and I didn't say she could keep it. So because she has shown herself to be trustworthy to me, show yourself, just as she's shown herself to be trustworthy to me, show yourself trustworthy to God today. I want to encourage you, show yourself faithful. He said that if you show yourself faithful to the little, he will give you much. So the reason I, well, okay, you know what? I'll stop looking at my notes. Anyways, so I would encourage you, you have the decision. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to give. But let me tell you, when you do give, he says, when you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He wants you to give, not because he wants to take from you or needs your money. He wants to give you, or he wants you to give so you can be blessed. He wants to prosper you. And he said that he has good plans for you. He has a future and a hope. In order to have a future, in order to have these good things, you need to have money. Like, that's just like practical, like duh. Like, if you want to like sow into the kingdom, you need money. If you want to do fun things, you need money. It says that every good gift comes from heaven. So all these things belong to God, period. God has entrusted you with this. God has entrusted you with what you have. Don't take this lightly. Like, God, the Almighty God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, has entrusted you with what you have. And so, you know, just put your faith into it. Like, there's
all right,
envelopes.
All right, you got to stop. I've already written more money than I want to pay.
Okay, sorry. Okay, well, there's envelopes and there is buckets up here. So whenever you're ready, come up here, put your masks on, as well as there's an upward giving wall up at the front. Oh, yeah.
Do you know it?
Yeah. And if you guys could all stand up to your feet, we're going to say our supernatural declaration. All right. If I obey. Then I am blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
And I am blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I am blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
And I am blessed in my basket.
I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up.
They trip me up. Because I'm a child of God.
Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
So come on and give your tithes and offerings with your mask on.
An anointed offering receiving. Amen. We're sitting there and two-thirds through, I said, I got to give more. Reached my pocket, took out all the 20s I had, and then my wife grabs her envelope, writes a bigger check. She always writes bigger checks. Amen. But you know, it's amazing, the anointing is there to gain wealth. God wants you blessed. Amen. Listen now, I know some people say, and I hear it often, well, you know, all that church wants is your money. The pastor, one time I bought a Harley Davidson, and a man said to me, did you take it all out of the money? Did you take it all out of the basket? It's like, listen now, I get a salary. It's determined not even by anybody in this church. We actually have to have an outside individual now determine the salaries for all the pastors. And so we don't even get a say of them. They're all determined from that direction. Do you want to know why I'm blessed? Why I can buy things, why I have things, is because I've learned how to give. I'm talking like when you learn how to tithe and you learn how to sow, man, I want you to know that God will always have more than enough for you. Listen now, I'm just extremely blessed. And you know, I love that. You want to know what my prayer is in the morning? I'm not even preaching yet. My prayer in the morning is this, because we have been accused of having a helicopter, two jets, a Lamborghini, a lake house, $1 million lake house. And I just thank God for all those people, because they can prophesy into my life all they want. We were joking the other day, Pastor, you're going to jump the helicopter to come to church. I said, well, I got to cut down that ash tree that died in my backyard to give me enough room to land the helicopter. But the fact is that, you know what? I pray this. God, let your blessing be so strong. And it's not just financial blessing, but every area. Let your blessing be so strong on our family that the world has to talk. And that's what happened. I want you to realize that in the old covenant, the children of Israel had so much that the people of the world were afraid of them, number one, but honored them, number two. That has nothing to do with the sermon, but that was free. Amen. I looked at my wife while she's doing that. I says, why do I even need to preach? That was a message in and of itself. Praise God. Open up your Bibles with me to the verse for the year. It's found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. And it says this, listen carefully. Everybody cup your ears, please. Go like this. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Which means many will not. Just because you have the name church over your building does not mean you're a house of God. Amen. Or oh mine, it doesn't matter which one. The fact is that you and I are called to be children of God, which means we must follow God. Does that make sense? You see, when you follow God, you can't not be blessed. Not that you're not going to have struggles and trial, but the fact is this, as a child of God, you have a covenant with the King of Kings. And as a covenant owner, God cannot lie. Can I hear an amen? God cannot go back on his promises. They are yea and amen. So this promise, you can miss it. This outpouring, you can miss it. And there will be many that will miss it. But I pray to God that your spirit man will be keen and alive and aware that you will not miss what the Holy Ghost is going to do on this earth in these last days. He said, I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Today I want to talk about what God is doing in these last days. And I'm talking, as we are talking about changing forward, there are things that God is specifically doing at this moment of time. Somebody says to me, how do you know it's God? Well, number one, it's in the Word. But number two, it's awakened in the Spirit. And number three, you will hear it across the nations. You see, it's the same Holy Ghost. People have said to me, well, you know, Joyce Myers preached what you preach on Sunday, on Monday. She keeps stealing my stuff. That's all I want you to know. But the fact is that it's the only reason, it's the same Holy Spirit. God is speaking the same thing because he's moving his church in the same direction. We are not many churches. We are one church, the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And one of the things that he's doing is he's starting to require a greater measure of holiness and consecration to his body. Some of you are saying, huh? Huh? What's that? We're going to get into it. You see, God is going to start requiring you to live up instead of level. I think they sing this, level up. Oh, I'm about to level up. Sorry, that's my favorite group. I wish I had that music to ready play. Can you find that level up song? I know it's Social Club. Can you guys find that? Social Club. I'm about to level up. I should have been a rapper. I can do it. You're going to have to teach me how to move. I can't move. I break things. Amen. It's time to level up. As Christians, right now, if you did a study, and Barna has, is that the church is no different from the world. They give the same amount of money. Isn't that crazy? They live the same kind of lifestyle. They go to the same kind of movies. They use the same language. They've done a study on pornography. It's the same between the world and the church. When you start recognizing that the world has infiltrated the church instead of the church infiltrating the world. And there has to be a shift in these last days. If there is not a shift, then the world will laugh at the body of Christ as they are even at this time. They're laughing at the church saying, you don't need to meet anymore. You don't need a religious service anymore. You don't need to come under the same house anymore. You don't need to do those things because it's just a religious service. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not here for religion. I'm here to tell you, I am not here to have a religious service. If the Holy Ghost don't show up, then we're just wasting our time. If the word is not living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, then we are just reading a good historical and archaeologically based book and formatted so that people could be educated. I'm not interested in education. I'm interested in a move and a transformation and a transition from what I used to be to what God is calling me to be and to do the will of heaven on earth. Consecration is a major part of this. Many have never even heard the word. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 is a powerful portion of scripture, but it just brings out this essence within, actually, two levels of this essence within just two chapters. And I'll explain that as we move forward. Then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders and miracles amongst you. God was ready to bring them across the Jordan River. I want to remind you the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. I want to remind you the Egyptian army was chasing behind them. But you see, I want you also to remember that the children of Israel did not sanctify themselves. They did not separate themselves from where they came from. Many people don't recognize or understand because we live within our own little encasement called our body. We are governed by our own little computer called a brain. And God wants to upload and so that you can have a greater download. He wants to change your life to where we start thinking like him, for we have the mind of Christ. This is not about religion. You got to expel it. It's time to know that God has a plan. In Exodus chapter 12, we see that the children of Israel, after 400 years of bondage to Egypt. Now, I want you to know this. Egypt always represents the world in Scripture. Egypt always represents sin in Scripture. And the promised land always represents God's best for your life. God's promises for your life, God's covenant for your life, God's prosperity for your life. It's important to know the difference between Egypt and the promised land. If the children of Israel felt that they were in the promised land while they were in Egypt, they would not have been calling out for God to send a deliverer. You see, I found so many people that have ended up backsliding. They came out of Egypt, come on now, they came out of their sinful manner. They came out of their sinful past with their shame, with the bondages, and yet they decide to go back because they forget where they came from. I'm here to tell you, you would have never left Egypt in the first place if there wouldn't have been anything wrong with it. In Exodus chapter 12, they were calling out for deliverance from Egypt. They were being oppressed and they were being depressed. They were being brought to a place where they would have to be transformed more into an Egyptian than they were into an Israelite. And I want you to recognize that they still allowed the Israelites to be amongst their own people and even to celebrate their own religious actions. But yet the infiltration of the Egyptian mindset and even what the Egyptians were doing to the children of Israel at that period of time was to bring them into a mindset of lesser, to bring them into a mindset that they were of no importance, to bring them into a mindset that they were weak, to bring them into a mindset that bondage was okay.
We know according to Exodus chapter 12 that, and Psalms 105 verse 37, that the Bible, the word of God said, come on, put the blood over the doorpost. The death angel will not come. Eat the lamb fully. The Bible talks about the blood and the body. The blood always represents forgiveness. The body always represents healing. And then in Psalms 105, they said that the children of Israel left Egypt with all of their wealth. The parts of the covenant are powerful. But the fact is that even though that God delivered them from the Red Sea, even though he did many miracles and signs and wonders in the desert, when they came to the precipice of stepping into God's best, when they came to the place, the threshold of stepping into the promised land, instead of doing what God told them to do, and that was go, they sent 12 spies. I want you to see how many and most do not have the mind of Christ that you must protect yourself from. I'm not saying they weren't Israelites. I'm not saying they're not Christians. But just because they call themselves Christians does not mean that they should have influence in your ears. Can I hear an amen? They should not be speaking into your life. Why? Because the 10 came back and said, "Whoa, we're grasshoppers in their sight." I don't, listen now, you can get them out of Egypt, but Egypt never got out of them. You see, they saw themselves as weak. They saw themselves as nothing. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. I want you to recognize the world sees you for who you believe you are when it comes to your walk with God. Only two came back. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, well, we can take them, man. God said it. It's ours. We can do this thing. We can go in there and take the land. Because of unbelief, and I want you to hear me now, because they were unwilling to step into God's best, they were allowed to live, but not allowed to live the best. Many believers are living the substandard Christian lifestyle because of a lack of obedience to God. And God said to them, because of your unbelief, because you agreed with the 10 and not the 2, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40. He was saying, you're all going to have to die. I can't trust my word in your bosom to take the people to the promised land because you don't believe after I've done the Red Sea, after I made the bitter water sweet, after I brought the quail so it came out of your nose so much, after I blessed you and blessed you and blessed you, I can't trust you. I don't know about you. I want God to trust me. Amen. I want God to say, hey, this is my beloved son. Come on now. I want God to say, listen now, if I say it, he'll do it. If I say it, he'll believe me. I don't know about you. There's a time we got to start purging. It's called consecration. And we're going to talk about it today. When we start purging our minds from Egypt, come on now. The children of Israel, they left Egypt, but Egypt never left them. Many of us have left our life of sin, but have never left the sinful life. And there's got to be a shift. In these last days, God, listen now, I love that verse because it said this, sanctify, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders and miracles. Many are not seeing wonders and miracles, not because God isn't able, but because they refuse to sanctify. There are many churches that will never see, and men, listen now, you start going around, you start talking about salvation, most churches don't see anybody saved. You start going around, you start asking people if they've ever seen a miracle. Listen, if you've been in this church, you've seen miracles. You've heard about miracles. Testimony after testimony of miracles, whether it be of physical healing or deliverance, you've seen miracles, financial miracles. I was just talking to somebody yesterday. They actually don't live in our state. They got here, they got saved, and man, they started tithing. He said, the moment I started tithing, he said, I am a sub-partner in a partnership, and he said, I got a $1,000 raise. He said, then I kept tithing and I wanted to move to a different state. He said, and as I was believing God for that, he said, I kept tithing. He said, and all of a sudden, this one guy wanted to buy the franchise. They had three, wanted to buy three, this guy was going to buy one, which means it was going to be more time to move. But he said, all of a sudden, the guy changed his mind. He didn't want to buy one. He wanted to buy all three. He said, I'm getting ready to move to the new state. He said, and all this is because of tithing. You see, when you learn the principles of God, you will always be blessed going in and blessed going out. And even when hell starts licking your toes, baby, you got a covenant, and because of consecration, the miracle will not be withheld. Consecration, what does it mean? Separation. It means a conscious, willing decision to dedicate your spirit, soul, mind, and body. This decision must be one of will, intelligence, and affection. Only you can make the decision to consecrate yourself to God. The separation of ones from things that are unclean, especially anything that would be contaminated, it would contaminate one's relationship with a perfect God. Consecration also carries the connotation of sanctification and holiness and or purity. It's time to get Egypt out of you. Say amen. I don't care how many years you've been saved, this is not an adventure that stops after a week. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on now, I remember when I first got saved, there were sins that were just, they were blatant sins. Man, you end up, listen now, you get somebody saved, they're smoking, droking, token, and screwing, and all of a sudden, the very first day they get saved, man, you're probably not going to see them get rid of all four in the same caboose at the same moment. I pray they do, but most people don't. Man, they're still dropping the F-bomb on the next Thursday. But if you're 10 years into your salvation and you're still smoking, toking, drinking, and screwing out of marriage or someone you're not married to, you're not consecrated. There comes a time in our walk with the Lord that we have to make a decision that we have to do it God's way, not man's way. That God is not going to bless our way, he's going to bless his way. That God is not going to pour out his spirit, just even with the finances you were talking about. God is not going to trust us with a stronger anointing if he can't trust us with a weaker one. And God cannot trust if the world is running our lives. I said, God cannot trust if the world's mentality is running our lives and sin is more prominent than sanctification. See, consecration is not something new. This is all the way back. For God is holy. Be holy, for I am holy, says God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. If we're going to change forward, it means we're going to have to start getting the junk out. Amen. The priests could do no working in God's temple without consecration. Exodus chapter 28, 40 through 43. Leaders from Abraham all the way to David and beyond were not allowed to fulfill God's will for him without being consecrated, without being separated, without stepping away from the world. Even the vessels, come on now, even the vessels, the chalices and the wicks, and we could go through all of the different things that were in the temple and the tabernacle. All of the vessels had to be separated, consecrated, set aside. Now listen now, If you remember, the king of Babylon stole all of the temple vessels and brought them back to Babylon. And when it was time in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah to have the temple rebuilt, they had to re-consecrate the vessels because they had been stored in the world's domain. But God says, whatever is mine, and I will not share, I will not have it contaminated by the world, I must have it consecrated. Great man of God, part of our spiritual lineage is A.A. Allen. A.A. Allen, he was moving in signs and wonders, and God was using his life. But he said, God, I want more miracles. I want you to use me in a greater dimension. I want more blind eyes open, more deaf ears to hear. I want more people coming out of wheelchairs, oh God. And God said, then separate yourself. And he went and he said to his wife, I'm going to go into this closet. Don't open the door until I meet with God. He went into the room, closet, and his wife started making supper. And all of a sudden, he's knocking on the door. She said, I thought you were staying in there till you met with God. He said, boy, that smelled good. I'll pray tomorrow. He went out there and ate supper. I don't remember how many false starts he had, but finally, he buckled himself in. And he said, now listen, if you need to read this book, it's a phenomenal book. It's called The Price of God's Miracle Working Power by A.A. Allen. You can go back and read it. It's available for you online. And here, he stayed in that room, and I believe it was 13 things that God gave him. And he shared, I believe it was 11 of them. Two of them were more too personal to put in a book. But he said all these other things. God was confronting him with who and what he was and how he thought and what he did. Now, this is very important for us to understand that what one thing that you are convicted for, listen, might not be something that somebody else is convicted for. We're all being maturated and developed and matured in our relationship with God. Now, if it's in the Word, it's in the Word. There is no debate. But there is a fact that so many will just look at somebody else who's a Christian or even a clergy and pass off how God wants to transition them and change them forward by blaming somebody else, saying, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. This is not about comparing. This is about yielding. And everybody wants to yield enough not to go to hell. But so few want to yield, so few struggle with yielding enough to become greater in God. That just means that you're literally permeated by the world's mentality. And there has to be changes. Do you think I wanted to be a preacher? I didn't want to be a pastor. I had no desire to be a pastor. It was nothing that I ever even really did. Mom, help me now. I never said, Ma, I want to be a preacher. Are you kidding? When I went to Bible school, bets were literally placed down how soon I would get kicked out. I did not want to be a pastor. I wanted nothing to do with this. I wanted to be a game warden. I was trying to get into Orno, University of Maine. My grades were bad. So I said, I'll join the Marines. And because I'm a leader, I got two other guys to join with me. They signed. My father said, I was under 18, I will not sign for you. They went in. Boy, were they mad. I did everything not to go into the ministry. I did everything. But all of a sudden, God, one day when I stepped my foot on that Bible college, I knew that's where I was supposed to be. I couldn't deny it. It was that nagging feeling inside of me. And while I was in Bible school, I remember my first year. The first year is the stripping year, where God starts stripping you right down. He starts showing you how evil you are, how dark your heart really is, and where the habits are that are so evil and holding you back. The second year, he starts rebuilding you and sometimes even stepping back so you wonder where you even are. But on the third year, you start to literally propel forward because you've learned something. Well, not all did, but you learned something if you were smart, and that is submitting to God is the greatest thing. Getting consecrated is the greatest thing because you will never be more happy than when God is pleased with your life. The world system is strong, and so many of us are so wrapped up in all the world has to offer. Listen now, there is nothing wrong. Somebody came up to me, well, money is the root of all evil. That's a lie. It's the love of money. There's nothing wrong with money. It's paper. And let's be honest, in America, it's not even worth the paper it's printed on. Buy gold. It's amazing when we look at the mindset of the believers today, because literally it has come down to this factor. I'm going to live my life my way. As long as I said my salvation prayer, I can go to heaven, but don't tell me what to do. God, I'm going to do the same things I did before. Maybe I'll cut back a little so I don't feel as guilty. But we are supposed to be a different paradigm from people that don't know Christ. We're not supposed to smell like them. We're not supposed to look like them. We're not supposed to act like them. All two of you said amen. I said we're not supposed to smell like them. We're not supposed to act like them. We're not supposed to be like them. We're not supposed to think like them. We are different because of the blood of Jesus Christ that brought us from darkness into his marvelous light. We are not the same. We are. This is not a religious transformation. This is not do's and don'ts. This is I don't do because it will hurt my relationship with the one I love the most. And if that's not your reason for transition, if you get ticked off when I say that you shouldn't be doing certain things because the Bible says it, well, listen, number one, it shows that you don't love God. That's what the Bible says. I'll just quote you the verse. If you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. We've created a church world where everything and everything is accepted. And it's not true. We cannot, should not, will not, God will not accept us the same as being like the rest of the people of this world. Pastor, you know, I thought I came to be encouraged. Well, I'm encouraging you. I'm encouraging you to change forward. I'm encouraging you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm encouraging you to have the joy of the Lord that is your strength. I'm encouraging you to live holy. Can I hear an amen? I'm encouraging you to be an example. I'm encouraging you how to move in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I'm encouraging you, most of all, how to please God. Because you can please everybody else on this planet and not please God. The most important person you try to make happy on this planet pales to making sure that God is happy with you. And he's talking about consecration. He expects his people to be different. He expects us to be different. I'll just throw a litmus test out for you. If you've been to the same job for more than a year and nobody knows you're born again, then you might not be. If you're hanging out with the same friends, come on now, listen to me now. You're hanging out with your same friends and they are comfortable with you when they're doing their sin, you might not be saved. Well, I don't know. I just think that this is a little rough. I don't know about you. But I'm not afraid of people who can kill the body. But the Bible says, be afraid of the one who can kill the body and the spirit. And there comes a place where we got to shape up. Listen, you don't let your kids do anything. Oh, I pray you don't let your kids do anything. You ever been around those children that just do whatever they want to do? Come on down. I was in Mexico. I've given the example before. I was in Mexico on with Pastor Patricio, and we went through one of what do they call those big places where they sell everything, Cody? A marketplace, they call it. We're going through the marketplace, and there is an 11, 12-year-old kid. Listen, they use the same kind of word. Effing his mother off, screaming at her, yelling at her, right in public. It took everything not to walk over, snatch that child. Snatch. You've been around somebody's dog that doesn't listen? We're dealing with one now. She's doing better. She's trainable. We're consecrating her. Because nobody likes a dog that jumps. Jumps on you, gets mud on your clothes. Jumps up, tries to grab your clothes. Jesus. We don't like those basic things. Can you imagine how it is with God that he saved us from our sins, yet we still like our sins more than being saved? See, we've got to make a decision that, listen, we're not out to please man. We're not out to please a religion. We're not out to please church. We're not even out to please the pastor. We're out to please the one who said, let there be, and there was. We've got to come to a place of consecration. The Bible says so very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure. If you're online, write it in the little thing. Pure. You'll be a special utensil for use. So what makes the difference between you and I being just an everyday utensil in the house of God and somebody being a special utensil? Special is always recognized by the owner. Because what is special to one person might not be special to another. And as our King is looking at us, he's saying, I want you to be a special vessel. And the only way to be a special vessel is to be pure. We've got to start cleaning up home. Say amen or oh my. Bible says, Romans chapter 12, 2, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers. I say it all the time. Some of you got friends you got to get rid of. Well, you know, I've been friends with them since I was 6 years old. Well, you know, you drink poison long enough, you will die. Amen. You get around somebody that's dirty, it only takes a few hugs before your clothes are dirty. You get around one of your friends that you know is not right with God and you know they're not listening, you know they're not watching. Now listen now, some people say to me, well, I'm trying to witness to them. If their influence is stronger in your life than yours and theirs, if you're not leading them to purity, then they need to go. Need to go. I said they need to go. Well, you know, you just got choices in your life. And so many of us make choices for what we want, not what God wants. Jesus, thank God he didn't do that, because when he was in the garden, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Because Jesus didn't have to die on the cross if he didn't choose to. Jesus said it this way, no man took my life, I gave it. Nobody took you to Christ. You gave your life to Christ. And then you continue to give your life to Christ. The level you give yourself to Christ is not determined by Christ. It's determined by you. How holy do you want to be? Well, I don't want to be so holy. No one wants to hang with me. Well, I'll guarantee they want to hang in with when they need a miracle. when all of a sudden they're facing death in their life, when all of a sudden they're in a position where there's no man that can help them, they're going to try to seek out somebody that's holy. They're going to try to seek out somebody that's different. They're going to seek out somebody. Sanctify yourself, for the Lord God will perform miracles the next day. Got to make a decision. It's not church. And as believers in these last days, God is looking for people who are going to change forward. I'm not talking perfect. You and I will never be perfect. You and I will never not be challenged with sin and enter into sin. The Bible says the sin is not the thought is not the sin. It's when you continue to meditate on the thought, James chapter 1, that it then turns into sin. But you and I, come on now, anybody in the room can all, unless you're going to go to hell. The Bible says simply in 1 John chapter 1, let no man say they have not sinned, for then they're calling God a liar. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Was written to the believers, not to the sinner. So we need forgiveness. We're not talking perfection. But you know when someone's trying or not. You know what? Listen now, if you've been married, you know if your spouse is trying to make you happy. Because when they're not trying to make you happy, you don't have to wonder at all. Go shut up and sit down. I'm not going to tolerate your stupidity. If I said that to my wife, she would stab me. I'm talking like she's done it before. She'd do it again. Don't encourage her. You are nothing but a dumb blonde or gray. Listen to you. Ooh. Hold on now. We're getting dangerous. Because when you just tell God, I'm going to do anything I want to do, what else do you think you're doing? You're telling the king, you're going to be subject to me. I'm not going to be subject to you. I'm not going to clean up my life for you. Your job is just to make sure I get to heaven. Come on now. How bold. How proudful. How stupid. We've got to make choices in our life. We're not talking about religion now. Listen, we are not in the age of the church realm. We are not in the age of the ecclesia to play church. We're not in the age of the ecclesia to be a church that's not going to have power and authority and walk different from the people of the world. We must change forward. I said, we must change forward. Every one of us on a different dimension. I don't care what dimension you are. I don't care where you are. All I know is if you start changing forward, you'll please your Father. If you start consecrating your life and making God apex in your life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. God isn't asking you to kill yourself. God is asking you to say, trust me with yourself. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do you want to know what's more powerful than standing in church on a Sunday morning with your hands lifted high and singing? Is your lifestyle. Your sanctified lifestyle brings great worship to God because it declares his name where you live, where you work, and where you play. Ooh, come on now. That's good stuff. How do I sanctify myself? Well, number one step is salvation. If you've not been saved, then you are polluted. You are corrupted. Well, that's not nice to say. Listen now. Sin will kill you. The reason you get saved is you actually have a revelation that you are a sinner. Well, I'm just not that bad of a person. Sinner. The wages of sin is death. Well, I don't sin as bad as that other person. Sinner. If you don't recognize you were a sinner or are a sinner and you're not saved, then you don't even respect the Savior. The first level of consecration, the first level of separation is saying, Jesus Christ, I confess with you in my heart, I declare that you are God. I submit my life to you, and I declare that you are the Savior, and now you are my Lord, Adonai, owner. We have a lot of people saying prayers, but not a lot of people bowing their knees to the owner. Does he own you or not? Well, I don't believe in slavery. Well, I'm talking right now. I think that you need to change your mind. And I know there's negative connotations to that, but there's also very positive connotations to that. You'll find every one of the apostles declaring that they were slaves to Christ. Love slaves. Bond servants is the exact words, which means they didn't have to, they chose to. Who are you submitted to? Do you want to know why this place isn't full? Because so many are submitted to so many other things besides Jesus Christ. They're submitted more to their fun. Now, I hate to tell you, my wife, I just love my wife. She's so cute. My wife, she said, where she was sending out some love to her friends. And she said, where's that verse about making the house of God and the day of God holy? And God was clear. He said, I worked 6 days. Who's he? Oh, that's right. He was God. I worked 6 days, but I made 7 day a day to separate yourself to me. Jesus addressed that in the New Testament. He says, was the Sabbath made for man or man made for the Sabbath? But it came down to this still has to be a time when you don't, listen now, you don't sell out God for something of the flesh and of the world. Salvation is your first level of salvation, of consecration. Your second level of consecration is that decision to make the second step to continue to grow in Christ. So many get saved, but they don't grow up. The third is allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you and change you. The fourth step is obedience and submission to the Word of God and the voice of the Holy Ghost, that if he says jump, you'll jump. Listen now, when you're first saved, you're not at that place. But if you're 10 years into Christ and you're not there yet, you're not consecrated. That means Egypt is still more in control than the promised land. And I challenge you, there's always levels of consecration. We'll go back to, and I'll finish with this since I'm very late. And we'll do the giveaways. In Joshua chapter 3, as they're getting ready to cross the River Jordan into the promised land to get ready to go against Jericho, he said, sanctify, consecrate yourself, because the next day, God's going to pour out signs and wonders. Watch now. That's the first level consecration. Second, hang on. All men said, ouch. All men said, ouch. I can hear it again. All men said, ouch. In chapter 5, the next level consecration was Joshua. Go get a sharp stone and cut the foreskin flesh off all the men that are 19 and up. Some of you got enough consecration to get across the Jordan, but not enough consecration because the world's skin is still all over you to go up and fight in the name of the Lord. And he's raising us up to fight in the name of the Lord. He's raising us up to be the army of heaven. He's raising us up to be the grace harvesters that the world has ever seen in these last days. And he cannot use those who still have the foreskin in their life. You might make it to the promised land, but you might not ever fight for the king. I want to be a vessel of honor. I don't know about you. It's time to sanctify ourselves. What is that sin in your life that you know, man? You know, you play with. You dabble with. Who are those people in your life that you know, that you know, that you know? God told you years ago to get rid of them. God told you years ago to get rid of a certain habit. You know it. But every time, you yield more to the sin than you do to the Savior. Where is it that you need to consecrate yourself? There's areas in my life I got to consecrate. You know what's interesting? I'll cover this a little bit next week. That's a good week not to come. Is the things that God convicts me of now are things that wouldn't be sin to a new believer. I wouldn't even thought of when I was a new believer. But now God is separating me more because there's more he wants me to do. When the Jewish nation prepares for the Passover, they take every utensil and clean it 7 times. Every time. 7 times. During the year, they don't clean them 7 times. But when it's time to consecrate, they make sure there's not a spot or a wrinkle. And Jesus says, I'm coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Where is it in your life that you need to separate yourself more to God? What is it, those things in your life, that sin that so easily besets you? What is those temptations that you keep feeding because you still would rather have the flesh on than the flesh off? Oh, by the way, the pain of having the circumcision with a sharp stone without any good morphine would be debilitating until you're healed. But then would be cleansing. For those who don't know, the reason that many are usually the 8th day, but the reason that God had them circumcised was a mark that they were his, but number two was because it kept them from getting many infections if they weren't cleanly enough. Get clean. I don't know. That means different to each one of us. I'm not going to meddle in your life. Don't you meddle in my life. But I will tell you, the Holy Ghost will meddle if you allow him to. Bow your heads with me this morning. Jesus, we are your church. We are your people. We are your family. And we are your army. I ask in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you will move amongst us and start consecrating us, start sanctifying us, start separating us. Bring us to a new level. Change us forward, God, that we will not literally be the same individual next year that we are today. And not because a year changed, but because we changed. Change us. Reveal to us. We give you permission to meddle, Holy Spirit. We give you permission to put your finger on things that we know are wrong. We ask for strong conviction. We ask for strong guilt until we repent and change forward. God, you have so much for us to do individually and corporately. Lord, it's not about us just coming and gathering once a week when we have time. Oh, but God, you have a church. You have a plan in these last days as your body will harvest. Your body will do great and mighty miracles. Every person, not the preacher. But Lord, that comes as we are pure before you. We ask that you'll bring us to that location in our personal lives. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need the first level of consecration. That means you need to give your heart to Jesus. If you're not born again in this room, you're not born again online, today's your day. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not going to wait long, literally. If you'd like to receive Jesus, get right with God. I want you to slide your hand up right now. You know you're not right with Jesus and you want to be. Thank you very much, sir. You can put it right back down. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning? Not going to wait long. 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call. and one. Let's all stand to our feet. Can I get you to do something for me today? Can I get you to talk to, if you're married, to your spouse, if you're children, to your children, and ask them to maybe hold you, not to your children to hold you accountable, but your spouse to hold you accountable, or a very good friend to hold you accountable, that you will transition. It's a great year. If you raise your hand for salvation right after service, Mindy's right here. If you raise your hand online, you can dial 97000 and type I am saved. We'll get somebody right to you. Mindy's right here right after service. You did not raise your hand, but you want to get right with God, first level of consecration, make sure you meet with Mindy. And we are going to draw two.
Amen. We're ready to give a blessing out today.
What are we giving?
We are giving a $500 bill pay.
Two of them.
Two of them. If I could just have Carla come up front. If your number is drawn, you're going to want to come to Carla and give her your information.
Now, so that what that means is we are not giving you cash.
Yeah, it's a bill pay.
What we're going to do is you're going to give us your bill, and we are going to send it to whatever you send us, give us to.
All right, you ready? 318, 4, 2, 1.
Oh, amen, Suzette.
Oh, Suzette! She is a mom of 8 children.
She
is. Tell me that's not a blessing. Come on now. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. 318, 3, 9, 1. Is it
Teresa? Oh, amen, Teresa. Amen.
That's so awesome. Have a blessed week.
We love you.
We love you all so much.
Shout it out loud. I'm going to change forward. We love you. Have an awesome week in Jesus.
That was awesome.
Too late to go out.